Welcome to the weekly podcast of the Voice of Healing Radio with Michael Petro. VOH Radio brings an in-depth understanding of the scriptures prophetically, rich revelation of the early church apostolic fathers, and biblical interpretation of the biggest news and political stories of our day. Take VOH Radio with you on the go. Listen on demand weekly. New programs released every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Radio.com, TuneIn, and more. To partner with us, please go to voh.church/radio. That's voh.church/radio. Or email us at radio@voh.church. You know, when I think about the growing impact of the Voice of Healing Radio, I think about all those throughout the world who have reached out to us to tell us about the radical changes in their lives and a desire to go deeper in the Word of God. There's a passion to see Jesus more than ever before. And we want to invite you to partner with us to continue sending this gospel that's transforming lives and so many people to the nations. In February, for the gift of $50 or more, we would like to send you the VOH Radio hat. And for your gift of $100 or more, we want to send you the VOH hat and hoodie, featuring a quote from one of the favorite early church fathers, Origen. This is our gift to you for partnering with us to take VOH Radio to the world. Visit voh.church/radio to donate now. You're listening to the Voice of Healing Radio with Michael Petro. Blessings. I'm Mike Petro, and you're listening to the Voice of Healing Ministries radio program. You know, a lot of people today are really waking up to understand that something is going on. They don't really know how to put their finger on it. And a lot of Christians are really trying to make sense out of all the things that we're seeing happening in the earth right now. We are looking literally at this point at a one-world government. The whole setup that has happened, the things that have happened now within our government was the last piece of the puzzle for the globalists, for the one world or new world order to come into position. And so we shouldn't think it's odd that when we see things changing so rapidly and things moving into a very destructive nature that it's not something that shouldn't be understood. Actually, the Bible talks about it. The Bible lets us know things that are unfolding. Jesus tells us those things. The apostles tell us those things. Even the Old Testament tells us those things so that we can get prepared, that we can get ready. There's a theology that the early church believed, and only the early church in the first few hundred years, they believed in what was called a millennial day theory. And this millennial day theory was that the earth would go for 6,000 years from the creation of Adam until the Messiah would come back. And if you have studied Bible chronology or the dates of the Bible, literally from Adam till Jesus was 4,000 years, and from Jesus till now is 2,000 years. So we're there. We're at the end of the 6,000 years. Now, everything that the early church fathers talked about in this millennial theory, they should understand that we're seeing that happening in the earth right now. There should be wisdom for people that understand the Bible to see that actually these early church fathers hit the nail on the head, and that something is wrong with our current theologies, our current eschatologies. People are looking to escape. People are looking to somehow get out of this. But in reality, everything is now shifting into what we call the millennial kingdom. The millennium, we know, is 1,000 years. And Peter says this: a day is equal to 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is equal to a day. When you look at Psalms chapter 90, David even talks about this. He says, 1,000 years are as one day in your sight. So not only did the early church believe this, the Jews believe it. They believe we are in the season of return of the Messiah. We're in the season of the kingdom, the millennial 1,000 years happening. So if we're at the end of 6,000 years or 6 days, if a day is equal to 1,000 years, then we're stepping into the millennial kingdom, which is the seventh day or the day of the Lord, or we call it the millennial kingdom. So the millennial Shabbat or Sabbath rest talks about the earth coming into a rest. And for the next 1,000 years, literally the early church believed there would be a harvest that would happen straight away, right after that 6,000-year period. And I do believe we are on the verge of the greatest revival to ever hit humanity. Now, in reality, I'm watching myself, our ministry, many people are coming in, knowing that something's up. And when I say people coming in, I'm talking about mostly people that have been in the church. They're realizing something is up, something is happening. And they're saying there got to be more than this. There got to be more than religion. So as they're coming in, they're hungry. People that were normally worried about the cares of this world, things of this life, jobs, you know, making a way, all of a sudden are becoming extremely serious about their walk with the Lord. Why? Because all of a sudden everything is being stripped. Everything is being moved away. We know that this pandemic, this plague that has hit the earth, not just one country, but is hit the whole earth. It has awoken people to the reality that, you know, not everybody is promised a tomorrow. The other thing we see is now people are starting to worry about, I mean, there's been so many jobs lost, so many businesses have shut down, and people are beginning to worry, is there going to be a restart? Are we going to be able to restart it, getting things going? Because literally, we're looking at a collapse of an entire system. And I know that a lot of you don't want to hear this, but in reality, biblically, we are positioning right now to one of the greatest harvests. And it's not going to be an easy time. I think that what we're stepping into is a time that we should start preparing for souls and preparing for people to come into the kingdom of God. I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know how long it's going to be this way, but I do know one thing. I know that the harvest fields are ripe. I know that people are wanting answers. And I also know and I can see that the satanic agenda is running rampant in the earth right now. When we have known people in the government that are operating in the things of the world, in pedophilism, and all these things, and we have proof, and nobody is willing to take a look at it. We got to ask ourselves what's going on, what's really happening. When we have Christians, so-called Christians, not even taking a look at why they're voting for what they're voting for, something is wrong. And that's both, and I'm not just saying it's all one-sided. I'm talking about both sides. We have stepped into a season where, you know, the Bible says you reap what you sow. And the Lord is now taking those seeds that have been sown for the last 20, 30 years, and there's going to be a price to pay for that. We need to wake up for those of us that are getting ready, for those of us that know something is happening, for those that want to get ready and start positioning ourselves, preparing ourselves for the harvest that's coming. I'm not worried about things. I'm worried about the harvest. We should be out on a daily basis talking to people about Christ. If we're not bringing people to Christ on a weekly basis, then something is wrong, because literally that's what the early church did. The early church was all about going out and ministering, understanding, hallelujah, and bringing forth the things of the kingdom of God. And so as we sit here, hallelujah, in this time, in this season, we need to get ourselves, our minds off of us and start putting them on the things that God has interest in. Now, one of the early church fathers, his name was Origen, he talked about a spiritual interpretation. And what he's talking about, spiritual things, literally, we take a look at his book on the principles and the origins of an extremely intelligent individual. He wrote over 6,000 books in the early church. He was considered one of the greatest theologians ever to come out of the church. But as I've told you many times in the past, these men did not see scripture the way we see it. He says, and a spiritual interpretation is of this nature. When one is able to point out what are the heavenly things of which these things serve as a pattern and a shadow, meaning everything in scripture has a shadow or a parable, it's a better term, a parallel teaching of a heavenly understanding. So when we hear Jesus teach, Jesus is just not teaching like we teach today. Jesus is teaching in parables. Over and over, we see it. So what is that parable? It's a parallel teaching. So that parallel teaching, when it's revealed, when we begin to understand what's being said, what the Lord is saying to us is the veil is coming off. Something that was hidden is now being revealed. In the same way, we can see right now that everything is being unveiled in the nations. Everything is being unveiled. Right now, we know who the son of perdition is. Right now, we know who the false political leader is. Right now, we're watching this thing unfold in front of our very eyes. And yet, most of the church does just as going on is business as usual. It's asleep, like Jesus said, to the things that are here. It's asleep to the things that are happening. Not willing, pastors not willing to speak out the truth. Even some pastors see what's going on, but they're not willing to speak it out because they're afraid they'll lose their congregations, because they're more worried about money than they are in truth. Jesus has a word for those type of men. They're called hirelings. When you put money above truth, when you put your finances above the passion of God and the passion of Christ, then something's wrong. It's time for you to step down. It's time for you to leave that ministry, turn it over to somebody else. And it's time for you to go into the prayer closet and start fasting and praying and asking the Lord to forgive you and ask him to restore your faith and your hope back to the way it was when you first got into the ministry. Because literally we're watching a time and a season where people are blind. We're being the blind people being led by blind guides. They don't understand even what the scripture is even trying to say, let alone having the boldness to speak it out. Because literally, judgment day is on the horizon. Judgment day is right in front of us. We're going to see the judgment seat of Christ come forward at this point. And most of you that are listening to this broadcast are going to see the millennial kingdom step in to its fullness here. The time is very short. And we all need to be stepping into position and preparing ourselves not only for what is coming, but the harvest that is coming. Because Jesus said the harvest at the end of the age would be so great that the nets would break. But you've heard me preach about this ever since I've been on this station. I've talked about the parable of the wheat and the tares. I've talked about, you know, the parable of the fish and the nets being brought in. I've talked about the sleeping church, that only a remnant will come out of the church. The whole church will not be saved. Only a remnant out of the church will be saved. But we have moved away from that theology from the early church, and we've gotten ourselves into theologies that everybody's going to be coming in. Everybody's going to make it. Once saved, always saved theologies. Well, that's not the theology of the early church. That's not the theology of the men that were taught by the apostles, that were taught by Jesus himself. That was not their theology. Jesus did not just leave and leave us ignorant of things to come. 2 Thessalonians, Paul tells us what it's going to be. He talks about the great falling away. Why? He said, because the church does not have a love for the truth. Again, the world cannot fall away from Jesus because it never knew Jesus. The fallen away are in the church. Literally, it means to be divorced. When we look at that word in the Greek, literally meaning to be divorced, how can the world be divorced from Jesus? It can only be Christians that can be divorced. So we need to wake up and understand. It's time to repent. It's time to cry out. It's time to say, Lord, forgive me. It's time for the church to get back to holiness and righteousness. And it's time for the church to get back to spiritual understanding and spiritual interpretations of scripture. Amen. So Origen tells us the spiritual interpretation is of this nature. It's able to point out where the heavenly things, of which these things serve as a pattern and a shadow, or parables revealing things. So when we talk about how the seed is the word, when Jesus teaches us that, that's a parable. It's a parallel teaching, meaning the seed is not physically the word. Spiritually, it's the word, a word. When Jesus says they have eyes, but they do not see, he's talking about seeing spiritual things, understanding spiritual things. They're hidden from the people of his day, and they're hidden from the church today. So he's saying the whole law contains these shadows. In the same way you look down on a sunny day and see your shadow, you know that shadow is your shadow. But a person, if they couldn't see you, they would know, well, it looks like a person. The shadow has arms and legs. It's literally the shadow of a person. But until they looked at you, they wouldn't understand exactly who that shadow was a shadow of. So in reality, the word of God is the same way. Meaning the Lord is saying stuff. He's giving us glimpses and peeks into things in order that we would understand what's happening. But if we can't read the shadow, if we can't even understand the shadows, a shadow of a person or a shadow of an animal or a shadow of a tree, how in the world are we going to understand when that shadow is fully revealed and we get to see what it really means? We'll miss that ability to interpret and to understand. And to the early church, that was called the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy wasn't giving people words or predicting things. It was the ability to see in the scripture what was being said. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 7, here Origen gives us an understanding. He says that these shadows or these spiritual understandings, he says, what is that wisdom hidden in a mystery which God ordained before the world for our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew? Meaning in his time, they didn't understand it, but in the world to come, people that began to understand it would begin to understand the glory that was being released. And he goes on to say, or the meaning of the apostles' language. So this just wasn't, you know, something, a new type of teaching. It was literally apostolic teaching. So when we understand symbolisms, the seed is the word. The bread is the word. Hallelujah. The rain is revelation coming down to us. We can literally understand what God is saying through apostolic ministry. Things being taught to us by the revelation of the word. And that's what they believed would happen at 6,000 years, that that type of teaching would start to come forward to prepare people for the things that were coming. Isaiah 55 verse 10 says this, for the rain which comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth the bud, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. So here's the Lord saying through the prophet Isaiah that when the rain comes down and the snow comes down, it's symbolic of his Torah, his word coming down and watering the earth. We know that Adam was made from the dust of the earth. So this shouldn't be hard for us to understand that rain is symbolic of revelation being given to the church, the Torah being given to the church at the end of the age. So why does it come down? That it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, right? So the Lord said when he's releasing rain or revelation down to us, it's a direct word from his mouth and that we should understand it. And it will prosper the things which it is sent, meaning those things that it is sent to will be able to understand, maneuver, and get prepared for the things that are coming. So when Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be at the coming of the Son of Man. Well, what is the story of the day of Noah? It rained. What did it rain? Revelation. And what is revelation used for? It's used to water the earth. Well, we know that Adam was created from the dust of the earth. And the word for carnality means to be earthly. So when we're earthly or when we're carnal, the Lord is sending rains of revelation and snow in order, and I'm not talking physical stuff, I'm talking about his word in order to awaken us, to give us understanding. So when we understand the book of Revelation is talking about snow coming down and hail, H-A-I-L, frozen rain, it's talking about revelation that's really coming to the church. It's the word of God that's being released at the end in order to prepare us. And we are definitely in that time of preparation. The book of Revelation says that the bride, the Lamb's wife, she sings the song of Moses. Now, if you're throwing out the Old Testament, how are you going to sing the song of Moses? And where is the song of Moses? It's Deuteronomy chapter 32. We look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, what does it say? It says, let my revelation fall as the rain, right? So what's the Lord saying in Deuteronomy 32? He's saying that the revelation that's falling is at the rain. It's like the rain of the earth. So clearly here again, Deuteronomy in the Song of Moses starts out as let my revelation fall as the rain, meaning, why would the bride be singing that? She understands what the early church understood, what spiritual interpretation is, what the apostolic language was, and how that we walk those things out and maneuver in those things. So what is this apostolic language? What is this spiritual teaching? In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul talks about how that, and here again, I'm quoting Origen again, the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3:6, where there can be no doubt that the letters are meant to be bodily understanding of scripture, not spiritual things or spiritual intellectual things, which we also term as those that are spiritual or secrets. The apostle moreover says, even unto this day when Moses is read, a veil lays on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Meaning if we're really saved, the Lord will remove the veil. And people will go, well, I prayed the sinner's prayer. But see, the early church believed that the veil had to be removed from their heart. Hence, when you look at the book of Revelations, the apocalypse, most people think it's about the end of the world. We're actually there right now. We're in the apocalypse. But apocalypse does not mean the end of the world. It means apo, to remove, and kalyptos, the veil. So what is the apocalypse? It is the removal of the veil. So even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil that is upon their heart, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So what's the liberty? When we are unveiled, when the veil is removed, and we begin to see the truth. So what is that veil? Hebrews 10:20 says the veil is the flesh. That Jesus, being our high priest, has made a better way for us by going through the veil, which is his flesh. So every time we get revelation, we get a removal of the veil. We get a removal of the flesh. So the Lord is unfleshing his church right now, unveiling his church. Why? So that we can see what's really happening. For so long as anyone that is not converted to a spiritual understanding, a veil is placed over his heart. With which veil? As a gross understanding of scriptures, where scripture itself is said or thought to be covered. So we can understand in 2 Corinthians 3:6 that when one person is not converted to this spiritual understanding, to see the symbolisms, a veil is placed over their heart. And so what is that really saying? Well, Paul says, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to them that are perishing. So we can understand and we can see that the Lord is trying to give us the apocalypse. Isn't it interesting? We have a whole book that we're being taught is about the end of the world. And really that whole book, the apocalypse, is about the removal of the veil or people being saved at the end of the age. That's what it's really about. Because too much of the church is veiled. Meaning the word for being veiled is the word anakalyptos, meaning the veil is on, which according to Paul means you're not saved. But an apocalypse means the veil's been removed. And it means that now I can see something that I couldn't see before. I can see something about Jesus. So really, when we look at the book of Revelations, The book of Revelations is a very powerful book, and that book teaches us and reveals to us many things about what's here and what's coming, many things that we need to understand and prepare ourselves for. But Revelations 1:1 is interesting. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. So the book of Revelations was given to Jesus to give to his servants, his children, so that we might know what's coming and we might get prepared. So interesting, it is the revelation of the removal of the veil of Jesus Christ. So that must mean for anybody to read this book and to really understand it, hallelujah, you have to have the veil removed. Or in reality, you have to be saved. To understand the book of Revelation means your veils have been removed, that you can see what is really being said according to the early church. If our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to them that are perishing. So the gospel is the book of Revelation. The gospel is the New Testament. The early church taught that the gospel was the New Testament. So if I understand this, then I really begin to see and understand that I have to be able to have eyes to see and ears to hear, like Jesus said. But didn't Jesus say that to all seven churches? To them that have the ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. I counsel you to buy salve for your eyes that you might see. It's interesting that nowhere in the book of Revelation to all seven churches that he says, if you pray the sinner's prayer, you're saved. No, as a matter of fact, he says you need eyes to see and ears to hear. Well, I got to go back to his teachings. When he was asked, Jesus, why are you teaching them in parables? And Jesus said, because seeing, they do not see. They're blind and they don't understand what's going on. It's time for the church to see what's happening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, partner with us by heading to voh.church/radio. That's voh.church/radio. Your financial gift helps the Voice of Healing Radio bring revelation to God's kingdom and to the nations. Have a testimony or prayer request? Call us at 1-877-440-3737. That's 1-877-440-3737. Or send us an email at radio@voh.church. And don't forget to add VOH Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for your current updates. This is the Voice of Healing Radio with Michael Petrone.